So you guys like, you can't just say that you like people who scat.
I said I thought they were cool. There's okay. a difference.
Yeah.
So are you not familiar with internet terminology?
I thankfully am not. No.
I'm familiar okay. with some.
I'm so, familiar with cultural terminology. All right.
I guess it's just because like I'm a completely different from you guys. I'm not big on the like adult scene on the internet, to be honest with you. I don't really enjoy that area. But scat means
oh, of course it does.
It is literal porn on the internet. So you saying that you like scatting is just the disgusting thing.
No, I scat a logical video.
See, I was about to look it up on Google. Like, no, look. Oh,
thank goodness.
Look, oh, thank I was goodness. Right. And I'm thankful that I didn't. Now.
I can look
right.
it up for you if you
want. Oh, shit. Thank you. Thank you for taking that bullet for
me. Here, I'll pull up. Let me see. I mean, the definitions don't really change per se, but they do. They take on different meanings over time.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, they do. Yeah.
That's why I didn't know that it had changed, because whenever I was using the word, it still was just referring.
There are words these days that used to like be horrible, and I forget. There's a few good examples that like they've kind of been normalized.
Yeah.
God, you know, I would look it up if internet was better here, but
hey,
that's you know, Ben decides to live in an area where there's just no the cell service.
The damn boobies.
Yep.
Let's just
well, hey, this will change one day.
I guess I'm not looking it up.
Oh, no! Dang!
I'll send a photo to you later.
Please don't.
Anyway.
Anyway.
Welcome back to Freshly Brewed.
Yes.
You sounded stunned.
it doesn't normally happen.
Making an episode.
It doesn't normally happen like this.
Right.
Welcome back to Freshly Brewed, everyone. I'm Dawson Guillot, and I'm here with my co-host, Benjamin Eunice, and another member of Triple Espresso Media, Caleb Jackson.
Hello, I'm back.
So what you guys been up to?
Existing.
That's about the yeah. extent of what Ben does when we're not giving him a million assignments to do.
Yep. He
just maintains a stasis. It's just like he's in a slumber, and then we'll awaken when we're like, Ben, we need you to do this.
I think this episode will be out by the time that like this will be a thing that we'll have to talk about eventually, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So
we recently let someone go.
What is your opinion about the person that we just recently let go from Triple Espresso?
I think personally for me, because I have known him for so long.
Let's call him CJ.
Yes, there we go. Although that isn't my initials.
Yeah, we're just going to call him
we're
CJ.
Use my initials to describe him. Cool.
Wasn't Jackson that we let go.
Yeah,
by,
no.
Anyway.
I'm still in the good graces for now until I try to take over the company by assassinating Benjamin.
Okay, but that I already told you this. In order to take
us your plan.
In order okay, so
you're right.
I've had to explain this to Jackson before. In order to take over the company, you have to go through me and Jason first. The way that you have to do that is you have to defeat both of us by trial by combat. Okay? Yeah. So we're going to take alternating shifts sleeping and guarding.
Yeah.
And if you can manage to get the best of us, then you can take on Ben.
Yeah.
But Ben has a full arsenal of weapons at his disposal.
This is entirely unrealistically unfair, but I will.
It is actually realistically.
Oh, it is very realistic.
It's very realistically.
Why is it fair? I should only have to battle him.
No, that's not fair, bro.
Yes, it is.
Look at you and look at him.
So? What? There's not that much of a difference.
You give off Rambo vibes. I give off.
Okay, so you're like that the office worker that served in a war.
Mm-hmm.
Ben's the janitor.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That's fair, I guess. Like, okay, fine. I'll take the damn trial by combat.
Okay, that's what I thought.
It's stupid.
Every day. Yeah.
Anyway,
no. So what is your opinion on that situation?
I've known CJ for roughly 5 years. I have been in many friend groups with him. I've been in very many different environments with him as well. And I've seen how he reacts to certain things. And I know how he can behave when under certain pressure and under certain circumstances just because of who he is as a person. I think for me, it was a decision that I had kind of personally come to a while before everyone else did, and I did vocalize that.
Specifically to me.
Specifically to Benjamin.
So he has the right to say, I told you so.
Yeah, I really do. I won't.
I want to make this clear here. We are not slandering him. No. I don't think he's a bad person at all. He is probably one of the kindest people I've ever met. Now, he does have his flaws, as many people do.
Yes.
But he is still a very kind person.
Nobody's perfect.
I think it's just professionally we can no longer work with him because of how he acts.
Yes. So I think,
personally, I don't mind going to help him with projects that he wants to do.
Yeah, I don't have a problem
with that. Triple Espresso, I'm not helping him with anything.
Yeah. I think that's
unfair. I know personally I'm probably going to have to take a step back from him.
And, I mean, it happens.
It does. I'm not someone who wants to, like, I'm not a finalizing person. Like, I'm not, I will never speak to someone again, because that does not give him the opportunity to grow as a person, because I think he can.
I can tell you this. I know that we lost one, but are basically hiring on, like, what, five?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
That much? I thought we were only hiring three.
Lexi.
So we have Audrey, Brennan, Mallory, Lexi, and Camden.
Oh my God.
So we're getting five in place of one. So
do you know how that awesome that's going to be? Like, if we were to say do, and I don't know if they want to talk about this on air. It's fine. It's all hypotheticals. If you were to say split a hypothetical like lease or costs of things as we're starting our revenue stream between more people, it would be so much cheaper for each individual. Especially now that we've almost doubled our team size, which is awesome.
Yeah.
A lot of that, we have a bigger crew. We have like we pulled an art department out of thin air.
We got your sister on board.
Within two meetings we did.
Yeah.
Which we'll have to get her in for one of these one day.
She needs to come into one of these. And then we've got, who is it?
Clara.
Clara. We've got, we didn't mention her as a hire on.
She's just kind of external.
She's doing commission right now for us.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we actually paid her, didn't we?
Yes, I'm paying her.
Look at us.
Which means that we'll be changed. So, like, I'm sure a lot of people notice there's been a lot of changes to the podcast this episode.
Yeah.
And last episode.
Well, this episode, especially because Jason's not here.
Obviously, but Jason's working.
I killed him.
No.
And now all I have to do is
mention that at the beginning. Yeah, Jason's not here.
So, yeah, Jason's not here right now. He's actually been working his butt off. He is trying to afford us a new microphone for recording actual videos.
It's going to be a serious setup.
Yeah, he is putting in the time and effort to do that while we're focusing on this. Jason's really good with money, and he offered to do this for us. But I will say, it's weird not having him on.
It is. It changes the dynamic.
I think so.
I like it whenever it's me, Ben, and Jason, and then another guest.
So what he's saying is he wants me to...
Yes, I want you to go... You go take Jason's spot at work.
So he can come here and record.
Yeah, no, but then again, I mean... I know Jason's fine with it because he is working.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. And we might have to sub people out from time to time.
I'm personally trying to be in every episode.
Yep.
Because you and I have been in every episode,
so we're like the ones that have kept.
Y'all are the technical full-on hosts.
Yeah. So there was a. Were you here? Did we do a four-part with you?
No.
No, that was Josh.
That was Josh.
Yeah. So there was Josh and Ben on that side, and there was me and Jason on this side. It's like me and Jason were talking about like sports and stuff, and they were like, "Yeah." And then like
we didn't get it.
It's like that side of the table. And then, all right, back to this side of the table.
Oh, it was funny.
That was funny. That was really
that sounds hilarious.
But I will say, I'm glad that we managed to increase who we're working with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially since we have a film festival coming up.
Exactly. Yes.
And we just got our Patreon up and going.
Oh, wait, we're making this public, the film festival thing.
Oh, we are. This is true. Do you want me to, or do you want to, do either of you want to talk about it? Or do you want
I'm fine with talking about it.
I'm fine with talking about it.
That's on you, Caleb.
Yeah, it's on you. But I know that like we've mentioned it before.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
We have not confirmed if it's actually going to happen. It's still in the works.
Yes.
So, Caleb, I know that you're planning on doing all that.
Yes.
We didn't really have... I know we had a set topic that we talked about. But right now we have Caleb with us. So we may as well just talk about stuff with Caleb.
Yes.
Screw that topic.
These are almost placeholder episodes where we're just kind of like talking about structured. They're a lot like our original episodes were, which was less specifically topic A, topic B, or topic C. It was more, you know,
stream of consciousness.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, I really like the structured format.
I like the structure for it. And we're sticking to it. We did have... we're going to stick to the structure, but this episode is not going to be as structured.
No.
Because it's just, it's just the spur of the moment. Yeah. Caleb was able to make a podcast. We were like, screw it. Let's do one right now. Because we could. We actually went and got lunch. A lot of things have been happening in like terms for Triple Espresso. Recently, we've made the big decision of, like we said, hiring on... Not hiring, but recruiting 5 new people.
Yeah.
Or... 2 guaranteed and 3 in the works.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we recruited Audrey Eunice, which is Ben's sister. She's she an amazing artist. And Brennan Pittman, an amazing photographer.
Yeah.
The stuff that he has done is, it's nice.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been wanting to work with us for a while. He's actually been in the talks of actually getting him to be a part of Triple Espresso. And we used the opportunity of losing one member to finalize the decision and say, yeah, let's do it.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Because I've known Brennan since, you know, like junior high or maybe I've like known him freshman since junior year.
Too. I met Brennan my 8th grade year of junior high, and I've known him. I knew him, and then I grew apart from him for a couple of years, and now I'm kind of coming back into contact through this.
Yeah, he's so a really nice person.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome.
That's the one thing that, like, so I know, like, we talk about it a lot, but if we get an office, which I'm really hoping that we do, it's going to completely change everything. We'll have hours set where certain people need to show up and actually be there.
Oh, yeah.
Like managers being like, hey, you need to be here for this time. We have work to do. I want to see some stuff done. Like if we have, like say Audrey starts working with us. Hey, Audrey, I need you to stop by the office, see if you can get some artwork done there. It's a more professional environment. You can do it here instead of sitting at your house doing it.
Oh, yeah. She has complained multiple times about, you know, having to deal with a difficult environment of being able to focus because my house is pretty large. I have 5 little siblings. My sister is the 3rd oldest. And so we all as a group, there's a lot of stuff going on in the house.
Yeah. Her and Gabe are really close in age, aren't they?
Oh yeah. They're very close in age.
They're like only a couple months apart.
10 months.
Oh wow.
Or yeah. Sorry, 13 months. Sorry. They're 13 months apart. So they're very close.
So she was born in what? 2003?
She was born in 03. Gabe was born... No, she was born in 04. Gabe was born in 03 and I was born in 01.
So right, your sister's like, almost 18?
Yeah.
My sister's 17. She just turned 17.
Goddamn.
Sorry, no. She's turning 17 on the 27th. I'm stupid.
Oh, yeah. She's 16.
She's 16. She'll be 17 on the 27th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good job.
Good job in remembering his siblings' birthdays.
Yeah. My brother's is June 12th. My sister's is July 27th.
And now Peter's he's going is to recite. February 10th.
Bro, he's got so many siblings.
Yes. Alex's is March 26th. And Adelaide's is August 18th.
That's too many kids, bro. They're all tax write-offs, too.
Just be August happy 6th. As parents like each other, okay?
I know,
that's
right?
That's all I'm saying. That's a good thing. This is
right. Anyway, no, but I do like the fact that we're managing to hire all more people. I say hire on, but it's not hiring.
Because we can't pay them.
Well, we can't pay them.
We're recruiting more people.
Yeah.
Because right now, none of us are getting paid.
Except for Ben, who takes every cent that we make.
Yeah, Ben takes all of our money. It's crazy. He gets all of it.
Free.
No. But none of us are getting paid yet, which is why like we're trying to get this business up and running. We're signing an LLC at the end of the month, which I think by the time this episode comes out, we'll already be an LLC.
Yeah.
This one's actually pre-recorded.
What time... of the month. What the day of the month is the day of the recording? We are recording on
22nd.
July 22nd. And we will, August 1st, I think, is when we'll get all that taken care of, that area. So,
That's a big Grayson's step. Coming back into town, so look forward to having him on in the future episode of the podcast.
You have to have me and Grayson on at the same
time. I can't have you and Grayson on at the same time, dude.
That's 5 people.
We could, actually, but...
Yeah. We could kick Jason or myself out.
Or just Jason. And then do another 4.
Yeah, Jason, because...
No, not
or Ben,
Jason.
And then just do another 4.
Well, no, we can do 5. We have 5 mics. It's just going to be louder and more people.
Yeah, more hectic.
And we only have 4 mics in this mix board, so we'll have to do 1 external recording, which is fine.
That's more editing. So we may be able to pull that off depending on.
Well, technically speaking, we do have 5 XLR outputs because we have 1, 2, 3, 4 mics, and then we have a 5th port directly into my computer. So we could technically do all of them at once with the same computer, which would be nice. So technically speaking, sure.
look forward to that coming soon, ladies and gentlemen.
But we would need 5 XLR mics for that.
Yeah, exactly.
We only have 4.
We will. I mean, once we get the other 2 or the at least one more Personas PD70, we'll probably get another one and then we'll have all the mics.
For I would like to have 4 Personas PD70s.
We need 4 of them.
That would be perfect.
I have no idea what they're talking about.
The mic that you're talking
about. I know that. I just meant the technical terms.
Oh, it's just the bro. It's just a microphone. It's the model. Yeah. Anyway, we were supposed to do 2 episodes last time we were here, and then we didn't, and we went and watched Black Widow. It happens every time. Like we're saying, hey, we're gonna get 2 podcasts done tonight. We don't do that. We always go and watch a movie. So that it was a good movie. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to, no spoilers or anything, but it was a really good movie. I forget what we talked about last time.
We talked about, I just needed a lot of silence there. we talked, I'm on anchor. Hold on. We talked about YouTube, of course.
No, there was an episode after that, wasn't there?
No.
This is episode 11?
Joshua left. And then we went to go see the movie.
Oh, yeah. No, so this is episode 11. Okay.
This is episode 11.
Nice.
Yeah, because we were going to talk about horror stories, right?
Y'all didn't do a big 10th episode celebration?
We did. Yeah, that was Josh, bro. We got Josh on for that.
That was the celebration. Got it.
That was episode 10.
And that was a terrible sounding episode anyways.
He says it's terrible.
It wasn't.
But it's because he's an audio guy.
And he's also a perfectionist.
Okay, here's my defense for being the audio guy and being so nitpicky. Is because the average Joe won't hear a difference. But the average Joe will say, there's something about this podcast that sounds better than this other podcast, and they can't put their finger on it. But your ears are still going to hear the difference subconsciously. And I think then if we had the best audio we can, then even though you don't know why it sounds so good, it just sounds really good. That's kind of my policy.
Well, so I'm going to diverge topics here because Ben's going to go on a rant.
That's fair, yeah.
That was a rant on my part.
There's, okay, there's, like, we talked to you about philosophy last time.
Yeah. No, you talked to, I wasn't here for philosophy.
No.
It was just the 3 of us for philosophy.
It was just the 3 of us?
Yeah, yeah. It was just the main host.
What did we talk to you about? We did talk
We talked about writing and culture and how it, they kind
of. That delved into philosophy.
Yes, it did, because I'm that person.
Yeah, so I want to talk to you about a big no-no on things. Religion.
Ooh, yay. Here we go.
So this is something you're never supposed to talk about. No. But we're going to talk about
we
anyway.
We talk about both of them on this podcast. Like,
every
it's
time.
Like,
religion
talk
and
about
politics.
And religion.
Okay, so here's what I want to ask you. Right. Your father's a pastor, right?
Yes. Let's hope he's not listening.
Well, I mean, if he is, we're not.
If he is, I'm not going to step on his toes. If he isn't, then I'll go off. But no.
But how do you know that?
That's fair.
I'm just saying this. Like, we're not going to talk bad about him.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk bad about any religion.
Yeah, No.
That's not what we're trying to do.
No.
I just, my family is not incredibly religious or hasn't always been.
Yeah.
But has yours?
Yes. Literally from before I was born. I was born into a hyper-religious family that has very, very strong belief systems. And I feel like that has kind of developed. People who were born into very drastically passionate families about anything, whether it's religion, whether it's culture, whether it's politics, whatever it may be, people like that do tend to grow up also very hyper-aggressive. You grow up not knowing why you're aggressive. And I struggled with this as when I was younger. I wasn't always angry, but I was always very passionate. Like I passionately fell in love with people and I passionately devoted myself to things that I probably shouldn't have. And like, you have all of this chaos, the kinetic energy that you've just grown up around because you see people like go after that religious purity and that religious sanctity and that religious ideology so strongly that you yourself end up developing that kind of same passion, but you grow up not knowing what to really like focus it in on. Like your parents and like your community tell you, oh, you should focus it in on your education and your faith, right? Those are the 2 things that you're supposed to do as a child and as you grow up. But as I grew up and I got older, I've always been a questioner and I've always been someone who's been very, very aggressively curious, right? So I grew up with this little Bible picture book, and it had like all the most important Bible stories like animated for kids to understand. Mm-hmm. And I remember I had to be like 4 or 5 years old or something like that. And I was reading the story of Noah, and like I was flipping through
Noah's Ark.
Yes, that one. Mm-hmm. And I was flipping through it, and I was like, How did he end up not getting the animals to kill each other? 4 years old, right?
Right.
I have no business thinking this. Yeah. I have no business thinking this way, and I have no reason to actually feel that way, because like I've never been told anything otherwise, or I've never had like an outside source to like give me any reason not to wholeheartedly believe what I grew up being told. But like, mm-hmm. I just always maintained an innate curiosity within myself that grew into that. Bless you.
Oh, I sneezed.
It's fine.
So it like, happens. I think growing up non-religious versus religious mm-hmm. does develop you kind of to become, well, I guess it depends on like if you're like hard atheist versus hard Christian.
Yeah.
Because if you're just growing up non-religious whatsoever, that's kind of a non-factor. Like the same as if you're just like, oh, we go to church, we do this, we do that. And this so is like another part of your
that's
life.
That's something I've noticed. Like I know that you and Grayson mm-hmm. both grew up in religious households. Mm-hmm. Ben, you also grew up in a slightly religious one. Is that a super religious?
I say slightly religious. We were, no, I would consider us very religious, but yeah. we were never the brand of, I was grew up in a Catholic household. My family, especially on my dad's side, has a very long history of Catholicism. My mom's side was Protestant. We grew up as Catholics that were very, my parents were very focused on instilling good morals in us. And they did not, they were not people that were just like, go to church, go to church, go to church for the sake of going to church. It was always go to church because we want you to experience this, this, and this, and we want you to go to heaven, and we want the best things for you in life. And it was always in this like encasement of, yeah, it was religious and very, in a lot of ways, we had issues with the church. But if I had a problem with the church and there was something concerning, it was never, oh, you're bad. We're going to punish you for questioning. Yeah. My parents encouraged that in me. To this day, they're like, hey, you need to go on this walk. We want you to experience
so,
and look for truth.
Throughout all of human history, the church has been a horrible place.
Absolutely.
Yes.
100%.
Awful. Completely
so agree. What makes, like, I understand people nowadays having their own, like, obviously religion changed over yeah. the years. But you go from, like, the Catholic Church being this warmongering state.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's what entirely they were. Accurate.
The Vatican,
yes.
Vatican City was a warmongering city.
It was the worst.
You didn't agree with them, then they would send people after you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's how it happened. Why do you think religion is still so widely a thing, like Christianity,
do you want
even
to take this?
After
I can take it.
Do you want to? Because I have
I think,
my own take
we'll
on
both,
it.
We'll
yeah, because I think we have different takes on it.
We do.
So okay. I want to hear what you think.
So I think religion has always gone to the question of answering the whys of life. Why are we here? Am I important? Am I accepted? Yeah. And religion answers those questions in a way where people will think, oh, I'm accepted by God, da 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 da. And that's what the Catholic Church peddles. And, you know, growing up in a religious household, a lot of it was, you know, you need to take this to put this at the feet of Jesus, da 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 da. And it was always a sense of having this framework for life of, oh, all these questions are answered. You need to just follow this rule book for life. And I think it kind of is a way for people to get away from existentialism and asking the question, like actually asking the questions of what is morality outside of the context of this rigid structure of religion. Why do I believe killing people is bad? Why do I have the morals I have in more specificity? And I think what religion can do is offer this blanket, everything is already a known, we have everything taken care of. In groups and out groups, I've been talking to Tim about this a lot. Sorry, to Caleb. In groups, like religions offer an in-group for you to be a part of. For instance, I'm going to use the Evangelical Church. I've had experience with them. Okay.
here we go.
They are people that, you know, they believe in what we call, what they call this, like a one-time save. Like you're saved or you're not saved. And once you're saved, you're good. And if you're not saved, you're in the out-group. And when you're saved, you're in the in-group. Now, when you're in the in-group, I was talking about the structure thing. You have all these structures, you're good. Everyone does this, they go to heaven. And society doesn't have to actually move forward or change because it's already perfect. So you go back to this in and out group situation where the out group is non-saved and the in group is saved. For instance, if I talk to one of my evangelical friends and say something along the lines of, hey, I'm in a religiously nomadic state. I'm looking and searching for truth through, hey, what do religions say? What does the non-religious people say? And how do I collate that into a good understanding as follows my morals and my beliefs and my scientific process for looking for truth? They're going to look at that as a lack of faith.
Yeah, definitely.
And they're going to come after me and say, you need to be preached at more and put more in more religious spaces.
Yeah.
Till you, quote
so
unquote,
get that's
saved.
The thing I've noticed. Just because somebody preaches at you doesn't mean it works.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I actually talked about this with my dad last night during the conversation I told y'all about. Right. Because he started talking to me about how sometimes it needs to be black and white in order for people to see the differences. And I used the example of, imagine you're out and you're living your life and you're not hurting anyone, right? You're just, you're driving. Say you're driving and you're obeying all the laws of the road and you're not impeding on anyone else's lanes. And then all of a sudden a cop pulls you over. And it's just like, because I don't like the color of your car, right? I don't like the way your car looks. Like, that makes no sense. And I chalked it up to being like the best way to go about trying to help people, because the church at its core is about, I shouldn't say that. The church is supposed to be about helping people become their best self and helping people reach a certain point in their life to where they will be at peace with both who they are and who God wants them to be. That's what the church believes, and that's what they've always peddled. They don't always do that, but that's neither here nor there, I suppose. But I use the example of, I have this friend at work. He will go unnamed for the sake of anonymity as well. But he, whenever I first started working there, he had a reputation for being the biggest asshole, right? Like, nobody would give him the time of day. Nobody would give him the opportunity to be himself. Nobody, like, they all wrote him off as just this crummy, lazy, excuse-making person. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that doesn't seem right. I don't know why it didn't feel right to me, but it didn't. So I was like, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to see what kind of person he is, right? So I went out of my way whenever I had one-on-one interactions with him, because I think one of the biggest problems with organized religion is that you get this hive mentality of...
So, yeah, organized religion is just a approved cult.
Yes, it really is. It's a cult that has some governmental loopholes is all. But I think one of the biggest problems is that with that hive mind, they have these very aggressive stances that they stick to and they refuse to move from, because they're like, well, this is how it went 3,000 years ago, so it has to work now too, right?
Oh, yeah, and then it goes into this whole thing of like the biblical interpretations of things. Like I was telling them in the car before we came into the podcast. Young Earth creationists. I have an unnamed friend who is a Young Earth creationist. Very intelligent person. But he subscribes to Young Earth creationism. Why? Because he's very evangelically religious. And so what this results in is, the Bible said so, therefore I say so. Yeah. And that is probably the best Southern accent you'll ever get out of me.
That is, yes, it must definitely.
And so what happens was, he, you know, sends me this video by the self-proclaimed doctor, not really a doctor, Kent Hovind, who makes these claims on, you know, why he believes that the earth is flat. And half of his argument, this is funny.
Wait, hold up. Does this friend believe the earth is flat?
Please tell me they do. Please.
Please.
Flat earth?
I need this to be true.
Oh, I'm not sure. But he's definitely Young Earth creationist.
All respect. So good.
Possibly. I don't want to say that he is. I'm going to assume no. I probably misspoke.
Was this the guy that we were considering?
No.
Oh, damn.
No.
That would have been so much fun.
This guy, you know, he was very... you know, he looks at this, you know, makes these arguments. They're based on two things. Number one, it's based on the Bible, literally. For instance, his whole argument was, the Bible says that that the earth was created in 7 days, and also his argument was that if evolution is a thing, then death brought man into the world, which makes no sense. I know. He quotes some scripture. I have an entire document debunking everything that he said.
And as Benjamin pulls that up, I'm going to finish the story that I didn't get to finish.
Finish the story?
Yes.
I'll talk about this.
So this guy at work, he always comes in with this very me against them type of personality. Well, not this type of mentality, because that's how it's probably been for months, because it's always been him versus everyone that works there, right? So I was like, this is not how this should be. So he used to come up to the cashier stand and I would just ask him about his day. I'd ask him about how he's feeling, like stuff that he's interested in. And then he was very, very skeptical of me. Like he cursed me out the first time and walked off. And then the second time he like started to tell me about something and then was like, oh, no, never mind. You don't really care. I was like, no, I do care. So little by little, I got him to open up and I got to realize that he's not actually an asshole. He's just someone who was ostracized. Therefore, he tried to act out in order to gain approval and attention, and then the thing that they saw was what they cast him as, so he just continued that same road because that's where he was. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have any reason not to, because it's like, oh, you're gonna see me this way, I might as well continue. So I think a lot of the problems,
so people stereotyped him and then he just stuck with it.
Yeah.
Basically, that happens a lot.
It really does. And that's one of the biggest problems with organized religion, is that you never really get to know the person behind the sin. You get to, you look at the sin and you see it and you say, that is not good. We keep away from that. That is bad. And then that person feels ostracized by you. So anyone who like claims to be coming from the church, regardless of what religion that is, whether it be Catholic or Baptist or evangelical or anything like that, they automatically mm-hmm. put up the red flag as no, I'm not allowing myself to be hurt by you because I know how you people are. And that's not really how it should be. Like no. The only reason. Yeah.
So you're right, dude. That's
what's yeah. funny. No, you'll never hear me say that again. Well.
It's on recording. I can oh, yeah. play it back.
The funny the irritating thing for me as well is the fact that what I was always taught growing up, and this is the weirdest thing. I grew up, you know, initially when I was young, that was what I was taught.
Yeah.
Especially not in the house. In my house, I was taught to always be merciful to people and to befriend sinners, because Jesus was friends with, you know, literally prostitutes.
And murderers.
And murderers and tax collectors.
Yep.
Like, to me, it blows my mind how for some strange reason, they tell the story of, yeah, live in the world and be friends with sinners. And don't judge them constantly. And then everyone's like, I'm going to not be friends with sinners and judge them constantly. Like, where did they get the opposite message
it's
from?
It's very hypocritical.
So that's something that I've noticed with a lot of things just throughout history in general.
Mm-hmm.
You will learn, like, we know that Jesus existed.
Yes.
There's literal documentation that he did exist.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people believe that he was just some crazy man babbling on that just built a following. Which is believable.
Charles Manson did that too.
Charles Manson did that too, yes. It is believable. I've noticed that like throughout history, things like that happen,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You have people that get these cult followings and then it crashes and burns.
Yeah.
Christianity and like some of the other major religions around the world have lasted thousands of years.
Yes.
Why? Like, rhetorical.
Oh, dang it.
Like, why would they? I understand the reason behind religion, because you're looking for that purpose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But like, then you get to me and my point of view. I don't want to spend my life looking for a higher purpose whenever I myself have not found my own purpose.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you know, what my dad would argue is the problem with that is that it's a very weird cycle of issue, right? It's like you haven't found your purpose because you haven't been genuine in your faith, but you haven't been genuine in your faith because you don't know what your purpose is, right?
It's yeah. a loop and a catch-22 yeah. and you'll
it
never
It really is.
That is.
So
that's a bad
that's yes. the thing. I understand what you mean. I get yeah. it. But like, I see it this way where it's like, why would I look for somebody of a higher power to solve my problems that I know I can fix myself?
Right.
It's probably because I'm so like headstrong and I'm yes. like, I can do it myself. I'm going to do it myself. Right. Yeah. I don't want to ask for help. I'm prideful.
Then, it's almost like we ask, you know, in the Christian world, like, I know we're using Christianity because we live in a hyper-Christian country, but...
Yes,
we do. Yes, we do.
When you see the way that they look at it, they'll say, oh, you need to ask God for help and you need to put anything... I'm like, okay, but what are you really doing except for just letting God take the credit for something? Like, can we not do anything by ourselves? Are we not... Now, there's, they don't even say that we can't do anything by ourselves. They'll say, oh, yeah, but then there's this, like, hazy notion of you will never get there unless, you know...
you have God on your side.
You have, like, God doing it for you or helping you or whatever, which... The help, we need to, religious people need to rephrase it and say, helping you. Because whenever you feel like you're powerless unless the religion's there, that's truly dangerous occultic stuff.
Yeah.
Or, sorry, cult. Occultic and cult are two different things. Cult stuff. Occult is like demonic specifically. Cult stuff is any.
Well,
cult.
I mean, they are deep, but in,
they're related.
Yeah.
But cult stuff, like, that's culty. It is, because it's like you have to stay in the religion or you will fail in life. That's the idea.
That's what I was told all of my life.
Yes.
Yes.
Because it
still
forces
to this day.
You to stay there.
So there's other things that like go into religion and stuff. Like my stepdad, he is religious, but he did make a very good argument to my mother whenever she got very upset about me not being super religious. He looked at her and he goes, how do you know that the religion that we follow is the correct one?
Yep.
There have been millions of religions across the entire planet since we first got here. How do we know that Christianity is the correct religion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't.
You don't.
Yes,
exactly,
you have documents.
Where I am now.
But here's the thing. They had documents of Zeus, of Poseidon.
Yeah.
Documents.
They were Romans, right? Like that was their religion. So you don't.
You can't take the validity of the group of people that claim the thing as the proof of the thing, right?
Exactly.
Because if I say I saw the flying spaghetti monster yesterday, and then I write on a piece of paper like, ah, yes, July 21st, spotted flying spaghetti monster.
Yeah, but even in the ancient world, right? The religion that they followed, which we now call like mythology.
Yes.
It wasn't mythology to them.
No,
that
was it was hard facts and religion to them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, you did have people like Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle that would question that.
Some of my favorite people in history.
But then they would get ostracized for it. They would try and quote things and be like, hey, this could have happened this way. And then you had people that like, they delved into the science of things in the ancient world. And like, it's crazy to think because... People will say that Christianity or being a Muslim or
Buddhism
or any other major religion is the correct one.
Yeah.
And they have their own beliefs.
You know, Buddhism
doesn't
claim that.
Well, Buddhism,
Buddhism does not. It's weird.
Buddhism is a different type of religion, I guess. It's more of a following, not a religion.
Yeah.
You follow the Buddhist ways, not devote yourself.
Which
to
makes
them.
It technically less culty.
Yeah,
because Buddhism will tell you...
It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle, and they do absolutely have religious beliefs, like they have the Buddha, and they have the future Buddha, and they have, you know, the rebirth and resurrection kind of thing that everyone is reborn a bunch of times.
Which is another thing where it's like, okay, where's the proof? But then again, you do have strange instances whenever people recall things from past lives.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that. But then again...
And then be 100% accurate about it.
Right. That's, I mean, but then again, in a sample size of 7 billion, there's a chance.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how much that chance is because you've got 100 billion neurons, but I don't know. I'm not a biologist.
There's also, like, there's one new theory that's been popping up about people. And a big YouTube channel made a video about it, an animated video about it. Mm-hmm. It's a big theory that a lot of people believe in. It's the fact that me, Ben, and Caleb here are all the same person.
Oh, yeah. Theory. No.
We are the same, but we're living different lives. So basically, we are one soul living multiple lives at the same time.
Yeah.
So when you die, you go up and it's like, hey, here's your next life. And there's only one of you. So you could be born in ancient Rome as this person or be born as a slave during the American, Civil War. Like it's that's the theory.
And you start to like really empathize with people.
Yeah, like if you look at, okay, so like especially like with organized religion, back to that again, the idea that we're all brothers and sisters and we're all supposed to be this one big community, the idea that, wow, okay, so if we look at it that way, you have to consider, why would I choose to treat someone that I view as my brother or sister so poorly? Like even to that, like even like they're just me, right? Like that's if everyone subscribed to that variety of thinking, I feel like the world would be a better place. Yep. Solely because people are selfish.
Yeah.
If you can extend the selfishness to other people, exactly. Wow.
Yes. But because then it's like, okay, I wouldn't want to do that to me. Because when I'm living that second life, right, I don't want me to struggle. So let me be as nice to every future version or past version of myself so that their lives can be a little bit easier.
So but that's the thing, though, is mm-hmm. that everybody has, even the most selfless people have selfish actions that they'll take.
Yes.
Yeah.
So who's to say if you were a billionaire that you would give the homeless money? That's your money, bro. Why would you give them that? You made that money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a selfless, it's not a selfless thing to do. It's a selfish thing to do.
Right.
Now, in a perfect world, people would go out of their ways to help everyone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We don't live in a perfect world.
No, do not.
I mean,
there's also the theory that Earth itself is hell because of its 9 layers.
Huh. I'm not familiar with that one. Please.
So you have the layers of the atmosphere, mm-hmm. the crust, the mantle, and the core.
Yeah.
It's 9 layers of hell.
Oh. Hmm. So everyone needs to start moving to space.
Yes, this is needs to be...
Oh, I've always told my Christian friends that if... So say you have Revelation. This is what I always tell people because they always think that the Earth's just going to burn. And I'm like, who's to say that this whole thing about destroying the old Earth and creating the new one is not just humanity going out into the universe and righting its own wrong via, you know, using technology... in the development of technology to write original sin over time. Because I've always told people, would you rather fix an old thing or throw it away and build a new thing? Because you've just wasted something. So I've always told people, I believe in a God, if there is a God, that fixes things.
Yeah.
So that's another thing I always like telling Christians. There's also, kind of inside.
There's also the saying that God is real, but he has abandoned us.
Yeah,
that's another
I've
one.
Heard that one before.
Because of the rising tensions in the world and everything, where it's like you could see it. If God was here in like watching over us, certain things should not have happened.
Well,
the way
see,
they
that
did.
Argument goes to something that they would consider as God gave us all free will because we are all humans and
but
we make the
choice
the
thing,
to do
though,
the thing.
Is that isn't it stated in the Bible that our free will was limited? In terms of Adam and Eve,
yeah,
or Eve getting tricked into eating
the
apple.
It's another anomaly.
So that's where, like, that's another thing that you can find in religion. Humans were not originally, if the Bible is true and the stories in the Bible are true, they were not originally given free will. They were given the will of life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Free will and being allowed to live are two different things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He had rules in the Garden of Eden. Do not touch that fruit. The one rule. You can live here eternally, but do not touch that fruit.
Yeah.
Right. And then they exercise
therefore
their
piquing
free will.
Their curiosity.
Yeah.
Which then implies that humans themselves gave themselves their own free will. Which then would imply that God abandoned them then and there. He sent his son down to earth only to have him killed. And say that he died for our sins. That's like coming at me from a point where I'm not a very religious person. I wouldn't say that like in the future, I may believe or may not believe, but currently in like present day, I am not a religious person.
Yeah.
Yep.
I do not see a reason for it.
Yep.
So I look at it and I'm like, well, we know that Jesus was real. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If God sent Jesus to earth only to die at a cross to prove nothing, because the Romans still, even after they did that, did not care for Christianity.
Right. They didn't. And I mean, what you got is, so let's say, okay, he dies, and then we'll say that in the Christian, we'll use the Christian thing, he resurrects, and then Christianity goes, you know, starts all that stuff. And then it starts to spread. You essentially get Christianity, a lot of the initial moral ideas that are, you know, Christianity feigns to have, I think that they had something to do with enlightenment, but enlightenment in and of itself took the good parts of the Christian thought process and threw out the bathwater, right? Yeah. I think that's really part of the reason that we have gotten to where we are, because you've got a lot of very good teachings with very bad execution.
Yes.
Because of the institution.
Yeah. But I think that goes to almost like the teacher and the student method, where it's like, I can tell a group of 500 people the exact same thing, right? I can teach you something super basic, and then every single one of them is going to walk away with something different.
That's true. Yeah,
because it's very perspective.
It also it reminds me of a saying of, you can give a man a fish and feed him for a day, teach a man a fish and feed him for his life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which a lot of Christians will do. They apply that. They're like, I can read the man the Bible today, and he'll only know about it today. If I teach him the teachings of it, he'll continue to teach them to his children and so on. And that's how religion spread.
Yep.
Because I'm sure there was a time in our history whenever religion was not as big as it is now. And I will say this one. I think religion is a necessity in everyday life. As much as like, I don't believe in religion, it has to be there for some people.
Yeah.
There are people that devote themselves to that and end up becoming better people than what they were.
Yeah.
It is a good thing to have, but too much of it can also be a bad thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When you have these extremists in religion.
Yep.
Like you find Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Hitler.
He was a very religious person.
Yes, he was.
But he was also not correct in his ways. You have the Templar Knights. Mm-hmm. Very religious people, but they worshiped the wrong thing. They actually worshiped devils.
Yeah.
If you didn't know that. So the Templars worship demons instead of actual God.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah, the Spanish Inquisition. So I did some research on the Spanish Inquisition.
Of course you did.
This is interesting. Okay. And I want to do more research on this because I'm, of course, skeptical about either or. The Spanish Inquisition might have been wrongly attributed in the early 20th century as a weird exception to that, like, religious craziness.
Oh, so
the Spanish Inquisition actually had trials and essentially stated it was like considered the first instance where the court ruled that a lack of admission, where like you say, I'm not this, is not grounds to like execute people. And
well, yeah,
like
but that's the thing though, is that I'm talking about how people, like, you get the extremist.
Exactly.
Like people who were part of the Spanish Inquisition going around and massacring people because they didn't believe in one
thing. Right. Yeah. And so then
you have Hitler, the Holocaust.
Doing the Jew thing, yes.
Mm-hmm. Because he did not like Jewish people.
Yeah.
Now take it is a race, but they also have their own religion that they follow.
Too, yeah.
So it's that. And like, you have current world problems where this stuff happens. You have America where they discriminate against Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
Which
mm-hmm.
should not be a thing, because we have freedom of religion here.
We do.
You should be free to worship whatever religion that you want.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, take it, there are hateful people out there that will say, no, mine's correct and yours is wrong, and then try and kill you over it.
Yeah,
it's a thing. Yep. It happens.
You got it everywhere. I mean, so we had some interesting extremists in the Catholic Church that I actually had to deal with.
Gross.
You think normal religious people are crazy? You don't know nothing. These people had books burned.
Oh my God.
But J.R.R. Tolkien.
My man.
Specifically. Burned.
Why?
C.S. Lewis.
What?
Burned.
No. C.S. Lewis is supposed to be the guy who wrote the books that are the allegory for Christ.
Right.
Why would they do that? That doesn't even make
sense. Because they're extremists, dude.
Extremists.
That makes no sense. These are called
traditionalist Catholics.
Gross.
The traditionalist Catholic sects.
That's the people you would have during the Salem witch trials.
Right.
These were that.
Gotcha.
Like, it was to a point where, essentially, number one, they stopped recognizing the papacy after Vatican II. Now, Vatican II was a meeting in the Vatican. Basically, they changed the way the Mass was done a bit. You used to only have Mass in Latin. Mass is like church for Catholics.
Yeah.
So you only had Mass in Latin. And now you have it in any language so people can understand what's going on, because people didn't know Latin, especially later on when Latin stopped being taught. And except you and I know Latin.
I know Latin.
You know, you got you know, these changes, the way that it was done, and the changes in the way that you would sing the songs and all that stuff. And this made these traditionalist people mad. So you had a split where this group of people, specifically in the U.S., split away from the rest of the church. And they still went to like Catholic churches and stuff like that were in communion with Rome. But they would go in and like only go to Latin Mass. There are still Latin Masses in Baton Rouge. And they're done as kind of like a cultural thing.
Yes.
But these people go because they believe that's the only way that Mass should be said. And then they get into this point where this so specifically, everything has to be so specific that being in this environment in middle school, it was in the home. I was in the Catholic homeschooling group.
Yeah. You were in that one with Anna Stewart and Kayla Gerard,
right? Yeah. And these people literally would fuss. And Anna will tell you how bad it was. Like, people did not like each other. They were always judging each other for everything. I said the word man cave once and got fussed at for saying man cave.
That's how dare they?
I know, right?
Stupid.
How? So, yeah, it was bad, man. It gets crazy.
Yeah, I think one of the weirdest things for me culturally growing up, looking back on it now, is like the... I know you probably don't have no idea what this is because you're Catholic, and if someone did this, they'd probably get freaking shot. But catching the Holy Ghost during church.
I've never heard of this.
For a treat, my friend. So essentially, catching the Holy Ghost is when the atmosphere of praise and worship gets so much so that someone will literally have to scream out. And I'm talking like a loud, aggressive, like primal, passionate scream. And that's something I just grew up around, right? Seeing grown adult men and women passed out on the floor and like running up and down the aisles like lunatics. And that's just something like every Sunday. You would just, me and my four siblings would have to just sit on the front row with straight faces and just watch that happen. But of course, as we got older, we would start making fun of those people because we realized how weird that is. Like they were
different people, bro.
Yes. Oh my God, very different. I would pay so much money though. I'd pay so much money to see Ben and like a full-on Baptist church environment.
I will say
I've been in situations like this, by the way.
Then you know
the evangelicals, it's a little different brand, but it's the same thing where they'll start like doing praise music. Everybody gets in the dark and they put their hands up like this and they start doing I love you Jesus, and then they'll have the praise music. It's some, like contemporary praise music.
Oh God.
And then it ramps up. It's so bad.
I know.
Had to sit there
and
like pretend to be in some kind of prayer stand. I didn't hand raise, but I did this. And like I was like, okay, I gotta do this. I'm gonna just pace around the back to look like I'm doing this. And I was like trying to like see what are they doing?
Yeah.
Like how do I get into this freaking trance? And it got worse and worse. Okay, then at the end, they like, all lay hands. And this was like a nightmare scenario. They would like, it would be like almost like a public confession.
Yes.
And like everyone would lay hands on them and they're like, okay, there's anything going on. Somebody say something. And then someone like, I think admitted to like having a porn problem.
That's usually what
they just break down crying. And I'm like, why? That's not how you deal with that.
That's really not.
That's so unhealthy.
I've had many a problem with that, not as like a skeptic, but as someone who genuinely at one point in his life was looking for that, right? So when I was younger, I used to literally just, as people were like catching the Holy Ghost and like they were getting passionately into their prayer and all that kind of stuff, I would just sit there and I would have my hands raised and I'd be listening to the music and I would just be waiting. I'm like, well, where is it? Because I was waiting for like that thing to hit me like a truck and for me to just start running up and down the aisles like everyone else. I was waiting for that because I wanted acceptance into something so badly. I was willing to negate my own common sense in order to obtain what I felt like would have been acceptance for me to like have it wash over me all at once and for me to just pour my heart out to them and confess all of my sins and then to have them all just welcome. But it never happened.
Dude, that's
That's crazy.
Yes. Yeah,
that's exactly where I was, that so, worship I was talking about.
Yeah.
Same story.
Yep.
You know what else is crazy? Our sponsor. Welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed that sponsor.
Yeah.
Golly, I need to change that recording.
I don't remember what we were talking about. We took a water break, so...
Was I talking or were you talking?
I think Caleb was talking.
I was talking, about... Shh, bless you.
Thank you.
What was it? I know we were talking about religion, and I was talking...
We were always talking about religion.
Those crazy, like, catch the Holy Spirit, and then you felt like you were, like, trying to catch it.
Yeah, catching the Holy Ghost. So... Back to do you not relate to our stories?
I do not.
Dawson,
you're not missing out on anything.
I
haven't went to church since I was like 8.
Wow.
We need to just take you to church. Can as please, non-religious people?
Can we please do that?
Like specifically just so that you've just had the experience.
Just one church.
No, bro.
What's the most judgmental church you can think of?
Ooh.
Like possible. Like
I will cuss some people out.
That's what we
that's
want.
The point, yes.
We're gonna start a religious war in the like, US. I've had... In Texas.
Oh,
Jesus. We're gonna do it in Dallas or Austin. Shocked. Austin might have a lot of
money. Yeah.
People. Okay. So Austin. All right. Or we could just go to that place, the giant Joel Osteen's church.
Yes.
Look, I know we did the sponsor late in the podcast today, but we are getting close to the end of it.
That's fair.
We are.
Okay, speaking of Joel Osteen, another very large problem that I have specifically with religious organizations is mega churches and the concept of a mega church.
We have so many of them here.
We have so many, especially in America.
We have one in Denham Springs.
Yeah.
Abundant Life Church, the one that I was involved with by technical definition because it has more than 2,000 parishioners. That's what we call them in the Catholic Church. Equivalent to parishioners every week to Sunday service, that is considered a megachurch. And that one has just over 2,000. So Abundant Life is a megachurch. Healing Place is a megachurch. Bethany is a megachurch.
Mm-hmm.
Megachurches.
They're so massive.
Imagine if
like Megamart, bro.
Imagine. Okay, for people who aren't religious like Dawson, I'm going to try to paint a picture for you.
Bethany was also one of the first megachurches in the world.
That is true, yes.
We are actually a weirdly, like, hub of like the culture of megachurches came from Baton Rouge.
So imagine essentially if like an airport had a central congregational hub where you go and sit and you listen to someone talk about something very vaguely for an hour and a half. That's essentially what a megachurch is.
Out of all the locations, why did you just say airport?
Because that's usually the size of a megachurch.
It's a very good way of explaining it because the architecture even, it's like... It's like a stage because it's almost like it's designed to be filmed.
Because it is.
Like you look at the production value that they have there, which is half of the reason that it intrigued me because I thought, oh, they're innovative because they've got good production value and they actually seem to care about media. So maybe they're in touch. Nope.
Mm-mm.
It's just a facade. Yep. And they spend all this money and time on this production value. And then they go and tell their musicians. They always say, oh, don't play out because if you actually play out and make good music, that's vanity.
Okay, that's interesting.
I hate that.
No, hold on. That's interesting to me. Even when you told me that the first time, because that's in the Catholic Church, right?
Nope.
What is that in?
It's the Catholic Church and some Protestant church. Some Protestant churches, the ones that you probably went to were not like this.
No.
The ones that we went to, we'll call this white suburbia.
White suburbia.
Because it's very that culture
of
being too emotional and being too much of a human being. Is seen as sinful for some reason. And that is a thing. So it'll be like, oh, you don't want to play out or play too loud because then it'll make the worshipers focus on you and not on God for some reason.
I recently watched a video that a YouTuber had. Mm-hmm. She does like Fundy Fridays, which is basically like Christian fundamentalism broken down. And she talked about how a lot of people that went to... What's like that big mega church called? Hillsong. So Hillsong had like this big controversy a couple of years ago, right? Because this is true, and you can look this up online, because they attempted to bring a little girl back to life during their service. They legitimately, like the mother of a little girl who died, I think she had cancer, she died, and the mom reached out to Hillsong. She was like, can you please pray for my daughter? Can you please pray that God resurrects her and that he brings her back? And they literally went on live television and they were telling people about how if they prayed hard enough and if they planted seeds, which in this case means give money to the church, then God would bring that child back to life. And that is one of the scariest things that I think has happened in recent human history involving churches.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, because they are so, the people that go to those churches are so radically, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess radicalized.
Yep.
In order that they, some people genuinely believed, had they prayed and had they given that church enough money, that God would have seen their hearts and understood their truth and would have brought that child back to life.
Well, that's a crazy way to end off the podcast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Moral of the story, kids.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Yes.
If we offended you,
we're not sorry.
No.
If we offended you, please don't listen to our podcast. I hate to say it, but that's the truth of the matter.
There you go.
But thank you guys for listening so much. This has been Freshly Brewed. Make sure you check us out next week whenever we talk about some interesting topics. I'm wanting to talk about fictional apocalypses.
That sounds interesting.
It does sound interesting. I want to talk about it. So catch us here next time whenever we do, hopefully. All right. Bye.
Peace. Bye.